Entrepreneurship on 702.
Dr. Stephen Zwane is my guest, managing executive at APSA, corporate citizenship at APSA. Dr. Zwane, thank you so much for joining us, and really good to speak to you once again.
Likewise, I'm very excited to be chatting to you again, Aubrey. Thank you for having me.
So, you know, it's become part of the South African conversation to say that if we want to bring any meaningful prosperity with some deep roots, we need to really focus on making sure that we see entrepreneurship develop come into its own, Dr. Zwane. It's a conversation we've been having for years in this country. Do you agree with that notion, and how do we achieve that?
So, firstly, Aubrey, I very much agree with the notion. I suppose we had not seen it culminate into a state of urgency as it has in recent time. We've all agreed that entrepreneurship holds the key to South Africa's economic prosperity. Of course, it remains a vital economic and social lever for developing, emerging and developing countries like South Africa. But in particular for South Africa recently, the unemployment rate, the stagnating economy, and really the need for urgent social change has been the catalyst to drive entrepreneurship as the way we do things. I suppose one of the arguments we are having, or maybe I'm having, and in the organization we started to think about, is how do we use entrepreneurship as a social construct through which we move society forward, through which you make society better. I think the one thing we are starting to ask ourselves is perhaps one of the main things we need to do is to deal with the entrepreneurship mindset and entrepreneurship skills at a much earlier age. We are no longer thinking about, okay, how do you make entrepreneurs prosper? There's enough of entrepreneurs trying to prosper, but the challenges are prohibiting them from navigating the complex construct. Mm-hmm. I'll make you an example. We've been very clear that entrepreneurship, as it pertains to women, is important. But if we know very well, through the GEM study that came out, and also through our own data, that the social support needed by women is critical. We also know that access to resources is another critical element. That is why at an organizational level, we're excited to have partnered with Visa to run a program called She's Next for 30 enterprising women entrepreneurs to figure out how do we remove the barrier so that they could prosper. So I'm saying to you two things. Entrepreneurship education is the solution, particularly if you take it in high school. Focus on women entrepreneurs, because when you get it right with women entrepreneurs, you not only make them prosper, you make the communities and society better. I think maybe I wanted to focus our discussion in that direction, Aubrey. Thank you.
Sure. I forgive me, Doc, because I'm going to say something that might be a little bit provocative.
No problem at all.
I'm always wary of programs that are initiated by corporates for for entrepreneurs, because in my mind, the corporate animal, the corporate structure, is so divorced from entrepreneurship, because it's really, in my mind, a management of a behemoth, of a very large, often efficient, I suppose, relatively speaking, process. Whereas entrepreneurship has to be a nimble way of thinking about problems and the solving of those problems at a very, very, very micro level. Would you agree?
I take your concern when it comes to corporates.
Yep.
Because maybe most of the time, whenever we came into this place, it was always working with already working entrepreneurs and already plugging into already existing systems and also looking at through our own lens. But I also maybe warn you in saying the fact that we are all aware that there's a problem, we are starting to think about this a little bit differently. I'll make you an example. We very much need a lot more macro enterprises that are formalized. Because if we get them to be formalized, we can track the type of jobs they are creating. We can be able to remove some of the friction points that makes them not to create jobs. But more importantly, we can say to young people that entrepreneurship is hard, but it's an opportunity for you. So I just think that the systems that we have in corporations like APSA are there, but we are rethinking them. So when I say to you entrepreneurship in high schools, we are now using our power as an institution to engage government and say, actually, until you integrate entrepreneurship into your basic education system, you will struggle to get young people to think about themselves as job creators. So your skepticism is correct. However, I think for me, when I look at what you're trying to do at APSA, one of the things we're trying to do is that we want to be a preferred bank for entrepreneurs. And we don't have the answers. We are figuring it out. And that is why we are now saying our social efforts must help us build entrepreneurship education at an early stage. I think those are some of the things we're thinking differently about.
Yeah. Are we asking the right question about what entrepreneurship should achieve? In other words, in many a fora that I have the privilege of having conversations with various people, I find the present mantra of we need jobs to be created and therefore entrepreneurs should be helped to create jobs versus we need problems to be solved. And therefore, if we solve those problems, we'll be adding value that will come in more ways than just the creation of jobs. And we need more things happening in society than just the creation of jobs. Obviously, we need the creation of jobs. But are we asking the right question in our quest to solve the economic challenges presented by what we think the answer is, and that is entrepreneurship?
Unfortunately, you hit the nail in the head. We are not asking the right questions. And I think it connects to the last question you asked about how our corporates thinking differently about this. Because we still want to be systematic in the way we've always done things. Whereas if at all we can start seeing entrepreneurship as a problem-solving effort, and then putting forward the problem that entrepreneurship can solve, then I think we can come up with different interventions. So let me take this forward with you. If at all we said one of the challenges we have is that young people are unemployed and most of them are unemployable, and therefore one of the things we try to solve is that how do they become self-employed? And then the next effort on our side will be, okay, what then should we be doing to help young people start thinking of themselves as possible job creators? I think we can start coming up with different interventions for young people in that construct. Yep. But I do think that what you are challenging all of us is to say, maybe we are asking the wrong questions. Maybe we are going about this the wrong way. But here's what I am excited about. As a practitioner of entrepreneurship, and a banker for many years, I do think that the best time to start having the right conversations is the one that we're having now. Two things that give me a sense of comfort. I attended the GEC Plus conference last week. There were three conversations I was very excited about. Number one, the National Entrepreneurship Strategy was being discussed. And it now was soliciting input from ordinary citizens, from practitioners, from academics, and from the business to be able to say, how do you make this relevant? So the Department of Small Business, I think it is the first time that that is democratized for a conversation. The second thing that was quite exciting for me was we were starting to say, how do we bring entrepreneurship to colleges and to universities? And the question we're asking there is, how come it's not automatic that if I'm studying plumbing, I'm already seen as a business person? And I think we are now starting to ask ourselves, how come we are not training local South Africans to be able to fix the mobile devices that we're using so that it can be self-sufficient, so that it can start jobs tomorrow, so that it can be able to prosper tomorrow? So if we don't answer the question about a captured audience, like students at universities and colleges, will not be able to move forward. And then the last part was around how do we enable women entrepreneurs to prosper. So I'm quite optimistic that the timing to have this conversation is right.
Give us a call at 11-883-0702. There is agreement, folks, that if we are to change the fortunes of our economy, we need to make sure that we have more entrepreneurs. But the question I'm asking and the conversation I'm having with Dr. Stephen Zwane, managing executive, corporate citizenship at APSA, is one, are we asking the right questions for the right interventions? And he's allowed me to put him on the spot a little bit there by saying, well, you're a corporate. Obviously, you're going to ask questions that are after your own, character, that are after your own pursuits. By that, I'm suggesting that as a bank, they are going to be wanting to create entrepreneurs fundamentally to be their clients as bankers, and he's admitted to that. But is that the approach? Can you teach entrepreneurship at schools? Or is entrepreneurship a result of an inquiring mind that is looking to solve a problem and therefore add value in any society? These are the questions I'm asking. There are some great initiatives that Dr. Stephen Zwane's organization is coming up with. But I'm interested to find out from you as you listen to this conversation. First of all, do you agree that entrepreneurship is the way by which we change South Africa's economic fortunes? Two, do we have the mindset? Do we have the right questions as a nation with all of the different institutions and powers to create that reality? The very way that we couch the triple problem, what do we say, Dr. Zwane? We say that we have a triple what problem, and then we say unemployment,
poverty,
and
poverty, unemployment.
Yeah, but that triple thing, and inequality, poverty, yeah, inequality, yes. And I mean. Is that a problem that can be solved by the entrepreneur? Shouldn't we be asking a different question to the entrepreneur to say, what problems exist in your environment, in your sphere of influence, in your hometown that you believe you have a solution for? If we understand, Dr. Zwane, that the entrepreneur is how we change South Africa's economic fortunes, then surely we should be asking questions that are in line with the production of entrepreneurs rather than the production of sociologists.
Yeah. So, Aubrey, you're very provocative today.
I know you love it. I know you love it.
I wish I was in studio with you to have this conversation. So here's what I'd like to deposit to you first.
Yes, sir.
As I take and you wait for the course. I'd love for us to go visit this entrepreneurship mindset conversation at some point.
Yeah.
Just to be able to just hone in, give it an hour, let's conversate. I think there's certain things we can learn just in unpacking that. But here's what I want to say to you. I understand the ask the right questions point.
Yes.
However, we've got multitude of people. The study of the GEM report says 60% of people that are starting entrepreneurship efforts now, they are doing it to just survive.
Mm-hmm.
So for me is, how do we help these people that are trying to survive? Help them think about how do I go about making this work for me? I mean, at the conference, a lady stood up and said, I hear you talking about all these grand things. The one thing that I just want is, how do I invoice correctly?
Yes.
How do I negotiate better payment terms? How do I price? I just think that we tend to maybe go on to the other side of entrepreneurship in action, when sometimes entrepreneurship in learning is not what you are enabling. And I think for me, I think a lot of South Africans will say to you, I'm really tabalazing.
Mm.
I've got something going on, but I just cannot move my business forward because I can't create a market. I don't know how to price. So I think maybe these two might be dealt differently. I think that's my submission around asking the right questions to be able to solve.
The calls are here and they are coming in thick and fast. My guest is Dr. Stephen Zwane, Managing Executive Corporate Citizenship at UPSA. We're talking about entrepreneurship. We're asking you the question, is entrepreneurship and more entrepreneurs the answer to South Africa's economic woes? And if so, how do we catalyze that process? How do we jumpstart it? What questions should we be asking? What is the real problem here? Yeah, what is the real problem? What is the problem that we are actually solving for here? Have we clearly defined it in our minds in order for us to be able to create the answers, the and mobilize the resources that are required for that answer? Give me a call. I'd love to hear your thoughts about that. Thabo is in Pretoria. Good evening to you, Thabo.
Good evening. I'm now welcome to the real Parliament of South Africa. This is the real where serious debates are taking place, where life-changing policies are discussed, not the one that we see in Cape Town. Dr. Zwane, I'm so touched with what you are saying. Being in education myself, as you know, I actually say this to you on your show that what is it that we can do? This is actually a question that will go straight to Dr. Zwane. What is it that we can do that can help our uni standard of all learning areas, it be from primary, high school, tertiary, including theta, to change the mindset, the uni standard, in order to inculcate the elements of entrepreneurship in it? Because as you say, I studied entrepreneurship myself. I've actually majored in it in my education. But I can see that there's a vast gap when coming to our education. When you talk entrepreneurship, when you talk to people that this is the what you can do with this thing. This is what, but in the uni standard, it's not there. So what is it that we can do? Because I will tell you the honest truth. The problem is in our uni standard. Our uni standard, including the uni standard of our skill development in CETA, are not entrepreneurial. They are not promoting.
What does that mean? What does that mean, Thabo?
Simply,
what does it mean to be entrepreneurial?
It means don't teach people to catch the fish. Teach people to catch the fish, look for the fish, catch the fish, and do something about the fish. Thank you so much.
Thabo in Pretoria, much appreciated. Dr. Zwane.
Thabo is on fire here. But I just want to agree with Thabo on the parliament that you've created here, Aubrey. It's amazing. I was listening to the earlier conversations and I've been a fan since we engaged.
Thank you, sir.
But let me... Maybe let me say to you, Aubrey, what Thabo is asking is very hard to outline at the moment because we're dealing with 400 years issue of Africans being told they can never be enterprising, that they should look for jobs, and that is all they can do, but they cannot industrialize. So to a certain extent, our education system has just followed through in the way things have always been done. I don't believe in the overhauling of the current system, but here's what I'm asking. My submission is, let's test this entrepreneurship in school, starting with the high school curriculum, and integrate it there. So even if you integrate only at grade 10, and you're saying the career path called entrepreneurship would like to integrate in the schools, because it's very hard to teach entrepreneurship in action when the very same people that are teaching it do not believe in it. So where these models have been successful, ease of integration, such interventions, has been use entrepreneurship as a compulsory extracurricular activities in a school, mm-hmm. where outsiders are training it, not the very same teachers that maybe are overburdened by a lot more work to be done. Now, as the teachers start seeing that entrepreneurship is possible through the external intervention, then they are the ones that get trained into the system to just think about problem solving. that this country no longer hires that you did a BCom degree,
yeah.
but they hire for your ability to solve problems. Entrepreneurship is a problem-solving capability and skill set that our young people need.
Dinyiko is in Johannesburg. Hi, Dinyiko.
Hi, Robbie. How are you?
I'm well. I'm very well. Thanks, Dinyiko.
Yeah, I support what Tao is saying. These are real parliament, real things.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate it. Yeah?
Compliments. My question to Dr. Zwane. How are you, Dr. Zwane?
I'm very well. Thank you very much.
Yeah, my question to you is this. It's within the space of NPO, right? Because my understanding, maybe I stand to be corrected, my understanding is that when it comes to corporates or banks, whenever, let's say, I mean, they will be supporting the entrepreneurs, they look like at, within the companies, the PTY, private companies or private individuals, right? But when it comes to NPO, you find that, like, let's say they do have or we have created a very good IT, which is a bulletproof and something which is going to be a game changer and is going to employ a whole lot of people, create employment. So most of the times when you go to the banks, they will look at NPO space under the CSR to just put donations and all those kind of things. So let's say, I mean, an NPO is having something which is very good, and you can see that this, the business plan is good, and they are going to create employment. And it's a man's opinion. Like, do you look at that and under the confines of an NPO?
Dr. Zwane?
Yeah, perfect. I think, Dinyiko, it's an important question you are asking. I would say whenever things have been disguised under the NPO, as organizations, we struggle to look at it through the lens of commerciality. So Dinyiko is right. We are finding it very difficult. However, we are now seeing entrepreneurship as a shared value construct. It is neither a social effort or a commercial effort. It is a single effort towards prosperity. So the thinking that we are having now is to figure out how do we look at an entrepreneurship effort as just that, commerciality and taking society forward. I don't think that we have been able to accommodate non-profit organizations enough. However, there are things I'm very excited about, Obi, because I just want to highlight. The Obi's, Alan Kwe Obi's Foundation has decided that they will spend all their money with non-profits and also all their effort towards promoting entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
I love
their
model.
We had them here.
Exactly.
A few weeks ago, yeah.
They've decided that they want to democratize this whole idea of entrepreneurship amongst non-profit. And that, for me, is exciting. But I think for us inside the organization, we are now starting to narrate the story of entrepreneurship as a shared value. And it's an important one. Dinyiko is giving me a homework that I'm going to take forward.
Dinyiko in Johannesburg South, thanks very much for your call. Sebo is in Turfantine. Hi, Sebo.
Hi, Aubrey.
Yes, sir. Go ahead. What is your question or comment?
Thank you, my brother. And Aubrey, my view is this. If we want to address the issue of unemployment through entrepreneurship, there are very, very fundamental issues you need to deal with and face them head on, especially in our country. Laziness is one of them. State dependency is one of them. Politicizing everything is one of them. You know, business doesn't need those things. If you get, no matter how much money you give to people to start small business, if they are lazy to work, it will never happen, my brother. Look at our African brothers who are here, who are working, toiling so hard to make it happen for them. And it is happening for them right in front of our eyes. And when you talk to our people about issues such as this, they'll make it a political issue and lambast you and call you to order. And when you tell them that, guys, you know, I'm a citizen now. I'm a senior citizen now. And I've been running a small business for years. And I know that if you run a small business, you need to wake up sometimes at 4 o'clock in the morning to go and get your stock. You need to push that trolley. You need to put up that stall and pick up heavy boxes for you to sell, to build yourself up. But unfortunately, in our country, we are dilly-dallying. You know, we're running away from the real issue of laziness. Let's address the issue and build a culture or rebuild the culture of our people having to work and not to depend on the state on everything. People are happy with the 350, and they are prepared to die for it. I mean, what nonsense is that, Matt? What are you doing with 350? And when you address those issues, they'll tell you that, hey, Baba, we are selling a 350. Zogbulala, they were pulling a 350. Unfortunately, after 94, what the ANC did to this country, besides corruption, they misled our people. That the government will be there, hunky-dory, everything will be just on the platter for you. It does not work that way. Yes. Even in China after Second World War, Chinese had to work hard individually to rebuild the country. Thank you, my brother.
Yo, Sibu in Turfantine. I'm going to let you comment.
here's what I'm going to do.
Better you than me.
Yeah, Aubrey, I think today you are leaving me out to the wolves, and I'll get you for it. So, Aubrey, here's what I'm going to say. I would not maybe discuss Sibu's point, but I'll maybe want to say I'm a glass half full person. I'll focus on those individuals that are waking up every day and are thinking, I'm going to try and be enterprising. I'm going to try and do something to better myself. There's many of those enough that you're not paying attention to. I think for me, the shift that we've made in the organization to focus on bridging the gap between aspiration and opportunities is an interesting one for me. Because this transition aligns seamlessly with AFSA's ambition to empower Africa's development and growth, enabling intergenerational inclusion through entrepreneurship to tackle socioeconomic ills. This ambition enables us to shift communities while advancing our business objectives. I am mentioning this because I know there are many corporates that are also seeking to answer the same question, how do we contribute to the prosperity of this country?
Yeah.
My argument, therefore, in this particular instance is when we give an enabling environment for young people to thrive, they show us how that looks like. Mm-hmm. And it is really up to us to contribute to this change. Now, I am not one to argue the ills we've created for ourselves. First and foremost, we have not been able to tell young people in this country, particularly in the township, that entrepreneurship is a career option. We've told them that they are doomed if they did not finish matric. We've told them that if they didn't go to university, they are doomed. We've told them that there are no options. We did not create enough businesses and industrialization in our townships. And therefore, where will they be seeing this role modeling of what this new construct looks like and where is it going and why we should pursue it? So I really am here saluting all the young people that are enterprising, that are pushing forward, that are looking for opportunities, that are saying we want to move from survivalism to wealth creation. And I think for me, I don't think South Africans are inherently lazy and don't want to take up opportunities. That is why my ask of you, Aubrey, to talk about this mindset issue, to say, if you are at the end of your finishing line of your race, don't look at that down on the person that's starting. Let's sort of figure out how do we give them the skill set they will need so they prosper better than us. And I believe that a problem-solving mindset lies in entrepreneurship as a skill set. And I'd leave it at that, Aubrey.
Let's take a call from Nontlanhla in Springs. Nontlanhla, good evening to you.
Thank you, Aubrey. I'm going to try to be very short. I have a case in Betekas, which falls under Ekurhuleni, where, you know, residents are renting out their houses, part of their houses, to your saloons, you know, the small businesses that are done by young people.
Yep.
And then the municipality will come and say, you don't have the right to do that. And you also don't have the right to advertise in your wall. And the container that I'm talking about, it's inside that person's property. It's not even in the municipality area. And they were given letters and they were struggling and trying to deal with the issue. In 3 months' time, they are fined 100,000 rand each house. And now I'm asking myself, if we have such a critical stakeholders like the municipality putting such bylaws that are prohibiting local people, community people, to create spaces for young people and other members of the community to run their businesses, whatever intervention that is happening, it's good. but then what is going to happen if they don't have facilities to do that? That's my main concern. In the cases that I have, I've got evidence of that. I've been with one woman who is now having a fine of 100,000, and she was told to go and make an arrangement. If she doesn't take out that container and put down those adverts in her wall, the 100,000 will accumulate. So meaning that one day she would lose her house. By trying to make income, but also creating a facility for community people to run their businesses. Thank you.
Nonsanta, in Springs, bylaws, zoning rights, and those kinds of issues, Dr. Zwane, how do you respond to that? Should we be allowed to run businesses from our homes? And has the whole regimen of bylaws been a hindrance to entrepreneurship in that sense?
They have been. If you read the story of the lady that started Busy Corner in Tembisa, in her book titled Conquering Poverty of the Mind, she will tell you that when she stayed in the place that she stayed at, it was never rezoned for commercial reasons. And that meant people could come and take a stock at any given time because the city had not gotten the right papers to be classified as a business space. And she had to fight that for years until she got in permission. So to a certain extent, I would say we don't have enabling policies that understand that entrepreneurship takes place everywhere. We learn about entrepreneurship taking place in families' houses, in their garages, at the boot of their cars. But I don't think that we've got enough enabling environments to make this happen. So
I hear Nontlandla, but let me put this to both you and Nontlandla in this way. One of the hallmarks, one of the identifying and sometimes painful hallmarks of township life is that in one street there'll be four or five taverns, shebeens, call them whatever you want. And of course that's an entrepreneurial undertaking.
Yep.
But it happens outside of the ambit of the bylaws of that area. So what you have is people starting these entrepreneurial undertakings without the permission of the community nor the authorities. And so you have a tavern blaring, customers urinating everywhere, blocking the roads with their cars as they support that particular business. Surely that should be a consideration that we would expect a municipality to think about, even though we are talking entrepreneurship here.
Remember, I have a lived experience. I'm from the township in Dobsonville, as we discussed.
Sure.
I'll just give you just a simple story. Teboho, the founder of the establishment called the Sofing, used to run his first business in a house, and the very same issue happened. The community pushed about and said, go find a better space. We won't allow something like this to happen here. And I think for me, the activism of the communities is the only lever that I've seen work a lot more. He went, found a proper commercial space, and now he runs a thriving business. It did not deter him and his entrepreneurial effort. I can never talk about the bylaws, but all I can say is that entrepreneurs always find a way. And if that's how they start and they learn and they grow, that's how it goes. But I can never really come down to the bylaws situation because we haven't introduced new elements of what does it mean to run a business in a South African context.
Yep.
What does it mean to run a business in a township? So the issue of alcohol, for example, we know that we need an alcohol license to operate. And therefore, that has always been there. What are the licenses to operate have been given? Do you have a license to operate a spaza in South Africa? What does that license look like? What does it entail? So there's a lot more gaps at a policy level that sometimes the bylaws issue becomes easy for us to hone in, but it's a much bigger issue of policy and enabling environment
which,
as a hindrance.
Which is why I started off with that provocative question to say, are we asking the right questions? Because if we limit the conversation around when we speak of entrepreneurship only around the idea that we must produce an income. If our conversation is simply about saying that we are trying to get people to be able to put food on the table, and that is the be all and end all of the entrepreneurial question, then we might be short-circuiting the entrepreneurial question.
Absolutely.
So the entrepreneurial question becomes a bigger one. And my thinking is that we need to demystify and undumfy. I don't know.
Undumfy. I've never heard that.
It just came to me. But what I'm trying to say is that we need to be a little bit more sophisticated about what do we mean by entrepreneurship. And I think you've just nailed it, Dr. Zwane, by saying that it's not just about making an income, but it's about making an income in context and responsibly. And so that should be the conversation that we're having in context, sustainably, responsibly, and in a way that is going to answer socioeconomic questions in our, because I think that what we did is that we followed the model that we had in the past, pre 1994, that said entrepreneurship in the townships was a purely survivalist undertaking. And I'm saying that, but that was the reality of that time. We need to start getting a little bit more sophisticated about what do we mean by entrepreneurship? What do we mean by a person who's self-employed versus an entrepreneur? What do we mean by an entrepreneur versus a business person? Because I think that those concepts need to be clarified in our own minds in order for us to be able to really mobilize our inner resources, our external resources, and the resources that come from organizations such as yours, Dr. Zwane. Because if we are going to be simply saying that entrepreneurship equals creation of an income, then we are talking about jobs then. We're not talking about entrepreneurship.
Welcome back. I've been missing this, Aubrey. So Aubrey, I want to challenge you back on one thing.
Sir.
Maybe we need to use this platform in the future to educate. So to take each and every one of these themes and start unpacking them.
Yes.
Because when we talk about townships, And the construct of townships and what they were supposed to be and what they are, and the fact that whatever was supposed to be is no longer it, and therefore it needs to redefine itself, that's a different conversation altogether. And we spoke about the mindset one, and also to a certain extent we might come back to issues like, what do we mean by entrepreneurship? What does it mean to be enterprising? I think there's a huge opportunity, but that's me digressing.
Sure.
Maybe let me come back to what you just said now. Fortunately for you, you had the end in mind when you started with a difficult question. And I think now it's all coming together nicely. I then say to you, right now, the topic is so big, so vast, so difficult. It is creating a discourse.
Yep.
But there is no person standing out at a policy level and say, I'm going to help. I want to maybe be political for a second, at least my organization I get into trouble. I'm going to vote very soon. And one of the questions I'm asking myself is that I have not seen a single organization that has been talking about being enterprising and about entrepreneurship, which means it's a discourse for the ordinary people, but not a political discourse. And for entrepreneurship to thrive, it needs the state to come on board. It needs the state to play its part. Your point is, in the township construct, the state hasn't played its part to redefine entrepreneurship. That is why in 2024, we still wish for a spaza shop to be an entrepreneurship economy in the township construct, which should never been, which shouldn't be.
Absolutely.
So I think for me, it's quite broad.
I think you are hitting the nail on the head, and you've heard a lot of people talk about this is the people's parliament and we have real conversations here. Part of my struggle with my producers is that I say I don't want to speak to politicians. I'm actually not interested in what they've got to say. I'm interested in what the people have to say about the politicians. And the reason for that, Dr. Zwane, is because I'm trying to put the centricity of the mindset, boom, there you go, that mindset issue, back to the people themselves, because they are the answer. And so when we get to a place where our conversations are led by what a politician says, the centricity becomes the politician and not the people. And so that's why the energy of this conversation or of this show is slightly different, because the centricity is the people. And again, I want to push the conversation about entrepreneurship back to the people to say it cannot be led by APSA. It cannot be led by a corporate organization, because the corporate organization is a hammer.
Yeah.
And it will see the entrepreneurial conversation as a nail. How we help APSA is that we need to start sharpening our thinking about our situation. Mm. And then ask APSA to help us.
Mm.
Not have APSA tell us what entrepreneurship is. And for me, that's where the mindset mind shift must take place. We need to empower the people to believe, to understand, and to appreciate that the answer is with them. You see what I'm trying to say? The problems that are to be solved are with the people. The whole idea around FUBU was for us, by us. That's why it became such a global brand, because somebody empowered the community and the people to understand that they are the starring of the show. Do you get what I'm saying, Dr. Zwane?
That's why this is a parliament of its uniqueness and of its kind. The challenge, however, is that a topic like entrepreneurship is broader than sometimes just the people by themselves.
Sure.
Because at times will come the issue we've just discussed now, the bylaws, where entrepreneurs are doing any means necessary to get over the line,
sure,
because they're trying to put bread on the table.
Yeah.
And we are living in the construct of a governing system where there's a parliament that is supposed to pass laws and enable and create an enabling environment, not only just for those that have the ability to, but also the ones that don't have the ability nor the means. So I do think that we must underscore this whole conversation and saying the failures in entrepreneurship endeavors to a certain extent have something to do with an enabling environment that is not conducive, and therefore it's limiting the abilities of its people. I just wanted maybe to bring it from that angle. I fully concur with you where you are coming from. However, it's bigger than
I hear you.
The key elements we discussed.
Let's talk to Piri in Alex. Piri, hi.
I agree with perhaps and the good doctor. I think you've by and large answered most of the questions that I had, because I wanted to understand what the difference between the entrepreneurship and being a business person is, as it were. But also, I think I'm also a little bit skeptical, perhaps, when a commercial bank comes about and wants to show us, as a people, what entrepreneurship is, because at the end of the day, they are in it to make profit, perhaps. So, but I suppose, all help is help, and all role players need to come to the table and really, come up with any solutions that can be able to, deal with the unemployment in our country. I have a brother here, perhaps, that I keep telling you about, who is very entrepreneurial, I suppose, but he hasn't gone to school. He actually dropped in grade 11. He sells his quarters and his nice slice with chips inside. You've got a lot of people that always come to buy, and he has employed four people, and he pays them about 4,500, and he's been doing that for about 4 or 5 years now. But But it's just that she just can't grow and expand. And I suppose it's maybe because of lack of knowledge or what, but it's quite entrepreneurial. And I think there's many other guys around the townships that have the skill and that have, you know, the drive to make a difference and employ people here and there. But they just need to be uplifted somewhat and so that they can be able to make a tangible difference. Before you go, Piri,
I hear you and I provoked that thinking right at the beginning.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that you've understood that we need all the help we can get. But what I'm beginning to hear from organizations like that of Bra Steven Zwane and others is that tell us, help us help you. Otherwise, we will tell you what we think. But I think the opportunity here is for us as the communities is to begin to have these kinds of conversations with the corporates and be able to empower them with the kinds of insights that is going to unlock the power and the potential that they have. And I'm saying that while the skepticism is healthy, I'm getting the sense that corporates are beginning to say, tell us, what can we do? Because the reality is that they won't be able to continue making profits if this country doesn't succeed. So it's not just a matter of them being philanthropic and sweet and generous. They understand that the longevity of their business rests on them empowering the economy to be able to be sustainable and for them to continue. So that is my sense of the whole thing. Piri, I'm going to let you go. Dr. Zwane, as we close, your final word.
I think from my side, my final word would be, we are crafting an authentic African entrepreneurship narrative, recognizing the need to redefine entrepreneurship and its historical context in South Africa, exploring opportunities to shape a unique South African entrepreneurship narrative. And all of it starts with conversations like the one we are having. I'm first and foremost a South African who wants to leave the country better than I found it, who want the future generation of my grandchildren to still live in a country that has prosperity. And to a certain extent, there's a role to be played by corporates, there's a role to be played by individuals, there's a role to be played by governments in order for us to move this forward. But it starts with education. What your show does, it helps us to be able to bring entrepreneurship into context and bring some of the nuances that are typically not part of our language around what entrepreneurship is, and bring role models around entrepreneurship and help us solve the problem as a collective. You are very right. We are here to listen. We are here to understand. We are also saying we are going into an uncharted territory where we are thinking about entrepreneurship as a way of moving society forward. We spend 40% of most of the nonprofit efforts going towards education. Now a lot of people are educated and they're unemployed and unemployable. That is not sustainable. We are seeing entrepreneurship as a way to move society forward, and that is why we are part of this debate and discussion. And it's even grandier to talk to you about it.
Dr. Steven Zwane, thank you very much, and always great to have you, and you being the sport that you are, managing executive, and I hope that you will join us again soon in these conversations. Much appreciated. Dr. Steven Zwane is managing executive, corporate citizen at APSA.